Scripture reading this morning will come from Isaiah through 53:9. Behold, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted, just as many were astonished at you, my people. So his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than any sons of men. Thus he will sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths on account of him. For what had not been told to them, they will see. And what they had not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned away to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shears, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due. His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth.
I guess we're beginning to transition to that time of the year where we're going to lose a good number of our college students. And we're certainly going to miss you, particularly those that are graduating and not going to be back with us. I was pretty excited in the Wednesday night class of our college students to ask how many are going to stay, and we had a good number of hands that are going to be here during the summer, so that's very exciting, very encouraging. I want to ask a favor of you. If you are available tomorrow night, I'm going to be speaking at a congregation in Phoenix City, near Columbus, Georgia. It's about a 30-minute drive from here. It's a congregation that has been struggling, and actually we've tried to reach out to try to help and see what we can do in working with that congregation. And they have invited me to be one of the different speakers for a meeting, and I'll be speaking tomorrow night at 7:30 Eastern Time, 6:30 Central Time. If you could be a part of visiting and encouraging that little group and the work that I'm hoping to do there, I would appreciate it. There's a broader concern, as far as I know, if you've noticed that certainly churches over the years have gone to different paths, and I think there's been a lot of weaknesses in certain areas of the country, and I'm concerned that we can help churches to come back to being the kind of church they ought to be and the kind of teaching they ought to have. And I'm very thankful when opportunities are extended to be able to teach and preach in places that maybe in times past those opportunities would not have been there. So if you can come out tomorrow night, I'd appreciate it. I've got in the bulletin the address, so if you've got a GPS, you could use that, or you can plug in the address to a computer to get directions. But I'd appreciate your presence. I'll be speaking on the topic of stepping in the light. This morning, I get a chance to talk about a great passage of Scripture. Typically, we will read Isaiah 53 without going into Isaiah 52, but the context begins in 52. This is the fourth of the four servant songs that we have been studying at different times over the last few months. One of the things about our God is if you're going to come to God and you're going to receive His blessings, you've got to come with absolute humility. You just don't come in before God and think you naturally know how God works and what He does. You're very foolish if you think that way. Men many times think they know everything. Pride in religion is a common thing, but pride will not stand before our God. In Romans 11 and verse 33, it says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord has become His counselor? It was who is first given to Him, and it shall be repaid to Him." When we come to God, we need to understand, we need to listen. And oh, the riches of His love and His blessings are there. But one of the problems that men have had throughout history, they won't listen. We get a little religion and we see a few things and we somehow think we just know and we're stubborn and thick-headed. No, if you're going to know the blessings of God, the mind of God, you have to have humility. The proud will fall. You know, the rulers that crucified Jesus, they were pretty smart men. The people in the Sanhedrin were some of the smartest, most knowledgeable men in the Scriptures, but they were arrogant and they were proud and they were separated from God. And the Bible says this about the princes, as whether it be the Pilate and the Roman rulers or whether it be the Jewish rulers. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:7, it says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. Or had they known, they would not crucify the Lord of glory." One of the things we've got to understand is if we want to know God's paths, we as humble people coming to the Scriptures must come to God and seek Him. The answers are not going to be found in the seminaries today. The answers are not going to be found with those with theology majors and they've got all this knowledge. It's going to be found by humble people coming to the Word of God. We've been talking about the reason why this is significant is these four servant songs were written over 1,000 years before Jesus' birth. And God was trying to tell people through these prophecies of what to look for. Could you imagine if you read these verses and before during the days of Jesus, and would you have been able to apply them? One thing I know is that our God wants to bless us. I love 1 Corinthians 2:9, "But for as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." I want God's blessings, but I'm not going to dictate to God. I want God's blessings. And it's not going to come up to me where I'm going to figure it out, and then I'm going to come out here and tell people what God